I read again a portion of our word for this morning's devotion. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place. Send the crowds away. Let them go get themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Grace and mercy and peace be to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, who empowers us to serve one another as he has served us. Amen. St. Matthew records this miracle right after the pericopes of him being unwelcomed in his hometown and right after the report of John the Baptist having been beheaded. In fact, that is why he is journeying away to a solitary place. It's if he is telling you and me, St. Matthew, that is, that ministry is going to be like this some days. Some days feeding 5,000 besides the women and children. Some days unwelcoming your own hometown. And some days, yes, you'll have your head handed to you on a platter. It's like that sometimes. This text is about ministry happening right in the midst of possible trouble, restlessness, and discord. Gospel ministry happening through the most unlikely vessels of all, the disciples. Mission ministry through them. The potential that day for disaster was great. The crowds were pressing in on Jesus. If you've ever been among a big, large crowd, you know how things can go wrong very quickly. And it was at that moment that they turned to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, help! Send the crowds away. Let them go take care of themselves." And Jesus turns and he says to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Me? Why did Jesus tell them this thing? Why did he look at them and say, "They don't need to go, you give them something to eat"? Was he trying to embarrass them? Was he trying to show them again, "I am Jesus, you are not, watch"? How you answer that question will tell me a lot about whether you think of Jesus as your hero or Jesus as your savior. Heroes do great things. Heroes dominate their situations, but that never seems to translate much into our lives. That's the way our heroes are. They win at all costs, and we honor them. I just got through reading a book about a month ago called The Jordan Rules. That was before Michael Jordan won his first championship, and they followed the team around for a year. And strangely enough, there was a time in the life of that basketball player that many of us call hero, where they thought of trading him. They thought of getting rid of him. You know why? Because they didn't think they could win with him. Too good. He dominated people in his practices. He embarrassed people. He got in their face and said, "If you can't handle it, get out of the way." One guy was literally driven out of the NBA who was a very talented guy. He never made it back. Heroes. But we have a savior. A Savior who could dominate us with ease. Instead, he stoops to serve. Instead, he comes into our flesh. He washes our feet. He dies on our cross. He gives us our life. And then he is even willing to bring that message of reconciliation to our world through people like us, broken vessels as we are. He's not our hero. He's our Savior. And they said to the Savior that day, "Send these crowds away so they can get something to eat." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "You do it." "No, we can't." "You can do it." "No, we can't." In our Lord's Supper class, we talked about one of the tensions in pastoral ministry, and it is the tension between humility and authority in ministry. Humility is knowing that you have nothing to give people. No pearls of wisdom, no great advice. You have nothing. And that's who you are. But authority is beginning to realize that Christ has everything to give people, and he is willing to give that through you and me. The tension is always there. Am I getting in the way, or is it Christ? Am I giving the pearls of wisdom, or is it Jesus through me? Sir, we would see Jesus. But here, though, you have a clear word from Christ, and in the face of that clear word, you have unbelief. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Lord, no, we can't. It's interesting to see their excuse, their sinful excuse. They look at Jesus and say, Jesus, we have inadequate resources for the task. And hidden behind that kind of challenge is literally saying, Jesus, God hasn't given us enough to get this job done. That's the universal human response to great need. We don't have enough. That's why you have workaholics in your congregations. They're the people who are always working, always striving, because they're just never going to have enough, and the real good things in life always seem to pass them by. We don't have enough, but we do. We have enough time, we have enough money, we have enough resources. The question of this text is, have we brought those things to Jesus? It's almost like Jesus doesn't hear their challenge, all we got are these fish and loaves. He just says, bring the fish and the loaves and bring them to me. Do you have a family? Then you have enough. You have people to serve. Do you have a place of worship where you can hear the word of God and grow in his grace? Then you have enough. Do you have a job? Then you have enough. In fact, Christians don't work so we can amass great amounts of wealth and retire on beautiful palatial mansions. Christians work so that they have something to give. We have enough. In fact, I think what it means to be in ministry is to be privileged to be that voice of we have enough in the midst of God's people. You're privileged to be the one that knows that you have enough, and you're always in the middle of your people with that promise. When struggles and difficulties come in your congregation, you're the one that can stand up and say, we got these fish, we've got these loaves, what can Jesus do with these? And you are privileged to see in your people. You are privileged to see that Christ can even work in and through them when they cannot see that even in themselves. We can't do this, Jesus. And Jesus turns to them and says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You do it. You do it because Christ can work in and through you. You see, Jesus calls people to ministry. He equips us for service. He calls us to be proclaimers of his reconciliation, of his cosmic redemption. He gifts us with holiness so that we might care for one another. He gives us love so that we might love one another. He gives us his righteousness so that we might serve one another. I think the greatest thing about the Christian message is what human beings again are in Jesus Christ, created by the Lord of the universe, redeemed by the life and death and resurrection of his Son. We are not beings of chance. We are not animals that are complex, yes, but subject to their own biological urges. No, we are people who have been redeemed with eternal worth, value, and potential. And in Jesus Christ, that is true of us, so that we might serve. You do it in Jesus' name because of who he is. I mean, that's what this text is all about. This text is about Jesus, who is the bread of life. This text is about Jesus, who is the provider, the one who sustains life. Yes, bread, but the bread of life. Man does not live except by Christ alone. He's the manna in the wilderness. He's the water that followed the children of Israel around as they traversed that day. And that rock was Christ, Paul says. That water was Christ. And he is the rock of our salvation. It is Jesus who says, I and the Father are one. It is Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. He is challenging your false view that you are the provider. No, he provides, and we distribute. You do it because of who Jesus is. And you do it because of what Jesus provides. Supernatural food. A message for those who are spiritually hungry, a message for those that are satisfied then only in him, body and soul. You know, rejoice in what you have received, my Lutheran brothers and sisters. And I think that's one of the things that we miss in my Lutheran brothers and sisters. And I think that's one of the things that we miss in our churches sometimes. I mean, think about what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to have his name literally claim your life, to read as in St. Paul where it says you have been literally connected to the death of Jesus. You've been buried with him and you've been raised with him, and now you live in his newness of life. Man, rejoice in that. Rejoice when you hear that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is given to you. Yesterday we heard about a kingdom or a city that's coming down whose roots are in the Lord. Well, that's what we hear in the words of the Lord in the body and blood of Christ. He is fashioning among us a community by his body and by his blood that cannot be fashioned by human hands. A community that overcomes ethnic divisions, national divisions, economic walls in Jesus Christ alone. It's a message of peace. It passes all human understanding, forgiveness to those who are really guilty, joy for those who are in the middle of sorrow, healing for those who are truly sick, and yes, life for those who are living in the shadow of death. You do it because of what he provides. And so with his provision and with his blessing, you give them something to eat. Now, in closing, I just tell you, this is not a sermon about, you know, believe in yourself, pat yourself on the back, go give it your best shot. This is really a sermon about Jesus Christ, a Christ who is the bread of life, who is going to do his ministry through broken vessels like you and like me. There's a cartoon, Charlie Brown cartoon. I don't know if you guys read that kind of stuff. But Charlie Brown is the perennial loser. He's the guy who tries his best, tries his hardest, and for some reason he always, always fails. And always in the cartoon is this person who's there to remind him of who he really is. Who is that? That's Lucy. I remember this one cartoon. It kind of encapsulates this message. Charlie Brown is making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he can't even do that right. When he's done, he's got peanut butter and jelly all over his hands and all over his arms. But then he looks at Lucy, and he lifts up his hands, and he says, "Lucy, Lucy, look at these hands. Man, these hands might someday write soul-stirring novels. Lucy, these hands might build great bridges. Lucy, these hands might catch the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl in the TWA Dome in St. Louis. Lucy, look at these hands." In the next frame, Lucy looks and she says, "Charlie Brown, all I see is hands that are full of jelly." What can God do with jelly stained hands? What can God do with hands that are stained with sin? What can he do with hands that always seem inadequate to the task? Well, if I read this text correctly, Jesus says, "Bring me your hands, bring me your fish, bring me your loaves, your voices, your minds, your arms, your legs, your time, your talent, your treasure, your lives in service to people, and watch what I will do with you." Because as this text says, Jesus blessed the bread. Jesus gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people, and they ate, and they were satisfied. You do it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.